Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
So Money episode 188, Ask Farnoosh.
You're listening to So Money with award-winning money guru Farnoosh Torabi. Each day, get a 30-minute dose of financial inspiration from the world's top business minds, authors, influencers, and from Farnoosh herself. Looking for ways to save on gas or double your double coupons? Sorry, you're in the wrong place. Seeking profound ways to live a richer, happier life? Welcome to So Money.
Hey everyone, welcome back to So Money. I'm your host, Farnoosh Torabi. It's Saturday. What are you doing? I took my first tennis lesson this morning after what is now probably at least 19 years of picking up a racket. I mean, I've picked up a racket since I was 16, but I played horribly on my high school tennis team back in the day. I was terrible, but my high school, you know, basically had a rule that they could never reject anyone from a sport that you went out to try out for. They just probably would never use you on the field. I remember they did use me on the courts, but it was, I was always against like a freshman when I was a junior who would kick my butt. And, the other team members sort of didn't like me because I was the weak link on the team, but I really loved tennis. What can I say? I was just happy to be there. And, I love the little outfits. I love the sneakers. I love the racket. I just love the whole thing about tennis. And of course, Wimbledon just ending now. It's a good time to pick up tennis again. I feel charged. I feel excited. And I'm sharing this lesson with my brother because we want to be so money about it and save. And it's fun to do it with somebody else. I think takes a little bit of pressure off you as you are perfecting your game. And I do intend to perfect my tennis game. So I hope to have more good news for you as the season goes on. We signed up for about 10 classes and it's a lot of fun. So it's Saturday. So as I always promise at the top of the show on Saturday, I go first to iTunes to pick a new person to receive a free 15-minute money session with me. So I'm going to just excuse my typing. I'm doing this live. Man, okay, I'll go to the iTunes store. And this was quite the week for reviews. I think that for some reason, lots of people were motivated to leave reviews. And I'm going to select Nada Pari MC. Nada Pari MC left a review on July 14th, called it Changing Lives One Interview at a Time. And the review says, listening to So Money has changed the way I think of money, finance, and economics. I grew up without an inkling of how to budget, save, or do anything with money. When money was discussed in my household, it was as if it was a bad thing to have. It was also a huge emotional trigger for me. Over the years, I've tried to learn about finance, but was difficult to figure out how to apply it to my everyday life. I've been listening to So Money for the past month, and I'm soaking up the information from the interviews and Farnoosh herself like a sponge. Listening to the ways others have used money as a tool to enhance their life has drastically changed the way I view my own life and what I am capable of. Thank you, Farnoosh. You've changed my life. Oh my gosh. Wow. You know, I don't demand that you write nice reviews, but this, I couldn't have asked for a more glowing review and a more touching review. Really? I changed your life? I think that's a very generous statement. And I think that certainly my guests are inspiring and they inspire me and they've changed my life in some ways too, listening to all my amazing guests talk about how money has been a tool for them, but also an inspiration and a drive. So if it's changing my life, I'm no doubt that it's touching other people's lives and maybe even changing other people's lives. So thank you very much for that review. I'm sorry to hear that money was such a sort of pain point for you growing up, but you know what? That's not uncommon. And so let's talk about that. Let's connect. Let's do a money session. Email me, Farnoosh at somoneypodcast.com, and we will connect very soon after that. So thank you very much for leaving that. And I have to apologize. I was going through my inbox and realizing, man, I have a lot of questions I haven't gotten to. So if you have been leaving a question for me over the last 2 weeks, if you've left a question for me over the last 2 weeks and you're like, Farnoosh, seriously, when are you going to answer it? Today might be the day, or tomorrow. Today or tomorrow. I'm trying to catch up big time. And so there's like dozens of questions. And, you know, typically I don't do more than 6 or 7 per episode because after that it just gets to be really long. So I'm going to try to be very quick. And this time I haven't really prepared much for these questions. I will be honest. It's been a crazy week for me. My husband was out of town. My nanny had the flu. So I was single parenting for much of the week and trying to work. So it was a little messy. For those of you who were on Periscope, you might have seen my little random periscoping with my son, Evan, one afternoon. It was a little crazy around the WeWork office near Wall Street where we are, but such is life. Evan was the happiest he was ever this week. I think he just got a lot of spoiled mommy time, which means I didn't get much work done. So I'm going to be answering these questions kind of off the cuff, and that's just the way it's going to work today. We're going to start with Andrea. She says, I've had a Roth IRA for about 5 years. It only recently occurred to me while listening to So Money that it should be probably rebalanced, but I have no idea the best way to go about that. Are there good tips? Does doing so often involve paying fees? Should I just wait till I find a financial planner? For what it's worth, it's through the Franklin Templeton Fund. But then she says, you don't have to mention that if you don't want to give company shout outs. Ha ha. Oops. Okay. Well, it doesn't matter. I think, Andrea, you could probably call the fund or the fund manager or the 800 number that's attached to that particular fund, the customer service, and ask about rebalancing services. And I don't think it should cost anything. I think this is pretty standard now. The other thing you might want to do is just, you know, still talk to somebody there and be familiar with your allocation in terms of the percentage breakdown. You know, what percentage am I in stocks, what percentage am I in bonds, blah, blah, blah. And then make sure that this person knows that every year you want to rebalance. So maybe it's just a matter of scheduling a call with them on the phone and they will do it for you over the phone. So definitely doable. You just have to work with your fund and the team there. And hopefully they can offer this to you for free in some capacity. Good question. All right, moving next to Alicia. She says, hey, Farnoosh, I love your podcast. You liven up my commute every day. I need help with where to go next with my money. I'm making a great salary. I invest in a 401k. I have an IRA, a good stock portfolio, and some money market accounts. I know I shouldn't be sitting on my savings, which at this point contains well over a year's worth of expenses. I know my money should be working for me, but I just don't know where to go next. I love my job, so a new business isn't right for me. Do you have any recommendations on how to get more of my money making money? Thanks. Wow, that's a really good question. I feel like I was in the same boat as you a while ago, and probably still. I have more money in cash than I probably should, but I'm a mom now, and I feel like I just want that security of knowing that that cash is liquid and accessible. And so I'm investing that money right now in a home renovation. I'm going to be depleting some of that, some of that cash savings. But that's how I'm doing it. And for you, I think the question you want to answer for yourself is, what do I want to accomplish in the next couple of years? And it may, my answer here is not, you know, open up such and such index fund. It's really, how can I invest this money into my life, into myself, to have it pay back in other ways? Perhaps it's personal growth. Perhaps it's real estate. Perhaps it's, you know, travel, something like opening up a college education account for your college savings account for your, for a kid that hasn't even been born yet. Cause I did that with Evan cause I'm crazy, and, but it's going to help us out a lot once he's ready to go to college, let me tell you. So it's really about thinking along the lines of, what do I want? What is important to me in the next couple of years? You know, you say you have more than a year's worth of expenses. Well, you know, if you have a year, that's good. That's solid. I wouldn't do anything with that. If you have a year, let it sit, have it be accessible, let it be liquid. Anything extra that is icing on the cake, maybe it's something that you do something fun with. You go on a vacation. You know, I'm just throwing ideas out for you, but there's really no wrong answer. I mean, the wrong answer would be perhaps that you just buy crap with it, stuff that in a month you can't even remember what you bought with it. But it would just, so I would say just try to think of some meaningful things. It doesn't have to necessarily give you a percentage return that is definite or foreseeable, but that it does make you happy. It makes you feel like you're living your life to the fullest. How's that for off the cuff? Stephanie says, I'm a freelance business and financial writer that has had some success in the national media. Curious how you've made the shift from being a writer to a personality in the financial space. I would like to do the same, but I don't know how to take that first leap to find media and speaking engagements beyond those at a local level. Any tips? Well, Stephanie, very, very timely question, because I'm actually coaching people on this exact thing. On the DL, I'm not really promoting this. It's not like flashing on my website screen. I'm not, you know, sending emails about this constantly. But I am putting together a small group of men and women who want to do exactly what you've told me. You know, I want to get to the next level. I want to become more of a go-to expert in my field. How do I break through? And I've amassed a lot of insider intel over the last 10 plus years of doing just that. And I want to be able to connect the dots for people. But I would say, you know, you don't have to work with me. I'm not trying to convince you to pay me to work with me. I'm just going to say that it's very coincidental that you brought this up. But if you're interested, email me. But I would just say, to answer your question, for me, what was pivotal, what was really the catalyst for getting me out there in the media in a big way, was having a book, a published book. So you say that you are a writer. I would say work on a book, you know, work on a book idea, survey the market, survey the landscape, see what's out there, what's missing. How can you be a unique voice? How can you be a standout voice? And think about packaging a book to get, you know, whether you go through a traditional publisher or you self-publish, that's up to you. I think both have its pros. So that for me has been my ticket. It's been the best way for me to launch my career. And looking back, it was the absolute best choice that I ever made with my career, was to launch a book called You're So Money. And that led to other books. So that's what I would say to you. So good luck. And if you have any other questions along this line, don't hesitate to reach out. Farnoosh@somoneypodcast.com. Okay, Rebecca, I graduated from law school with $192,000 in student loans, and I currently still owe about $150,000. I'm not married, and I'm in my mid-30s. My concern is that I have nothing saved for retirement. My employer does not offer a 401k. Up until now, my focus has been on paying off the student loans. I would love your advice on this. So, Rebecca, I would say, you know, if your company does not offer you a 401k, you can always open up an individual retirement account, either a traditional or a Roth, depending on your income. I would say if it's below like six figures, you would definitely qualify for the Roth IRA, which is a great vehicle to save for retirement, because the money that you invest in the Roth IRA grows and can be withdrawn tax-free in retirement. So that's a great perk. The traditional IRA, you can deduct the investment that you make from your taxable income today, but then in retirement, you pay taxes on that. So I would say if you don't have a 401k at work, look at an IRA outside of work. You can open up one virtually at any financial institution, bank, brokerage, credit union. So if you're already at a bank that you love, start there. Okay. Great questions, guys. Okay, Sam, what is your advice for investing extra money? I've managed to save up 3 to 6 months of expenses as an emergency. And as per my budgeting every month, we'll have $2,000 left over. Where can I invest that so I can gain some residual income through that investment? Well, you know, on the show, I don't give investment picks or investment ideas. So, you know, I would say if you don't have, but I can speak broadly. If you don't have a retirement account, you might want to look into opening up an IRA, like I just was talking about. And within that IRA, looking at index funds, ETFs, you might want to, we've had on the show some guests that have talked about peer-to-peer lending. That's something that if you can create a diversified basket of loans that you are basically giving money towards investing in, those can be an interesting investment. I don't know much about it, but sites like Prosper and Lending Club can get you to create a very diverse basket of investments, and that in quote unquote investments are other people's loans that you're funding. Not entirely, but maybe you're giving $10 here, $15 there, $200 there. And the return might be a nice one. So that's something else I might look into. I mean, I don't really know what's going on in your life. Do you have a mortgage that you could put an extra payment towards every year, or that could reduce your interest over the long run? It's not going to be an immediate kickback, but in the long run, you will save a lot of money because you'll knock down the term on that mortgage effectively, and you will save money on interest. So, you know, these are all things that are putting your money to good use. So let me know what you decide to do, Sam. I'm going to move on to Natalia. She says, I would like to know all the ramifications of bankruptcy. I was counseled to file bankruptcy because the banks that own my loan will not agree to the short sale. We've been in limbo for about 2 years. My other debts comprise of a rental property that I own with my ex that is rented yet losing money, $60,000 in credit card debt where I'm the authorized user, and my ex is the holder of the card, $95,000 in tax debt. I'm currently trying to start a business. There is not much overhead, and I don't plan to incur debt to get it off the ground. I would like to know how this will affect future opportunities. Oh my gosh, Natalia. This is an episode. I mean, I feel like there is so many implications here potentially. You know, I would say talk to a bankruptcy attorney. Invest a couple $100 to have a 1 hour sit down with a good bankruptcy attorney, and that person will lay it all out for you. At the same time, maybe you want to talk to also a financial planner. In concert, those two individuals can help you tremendously. What I do know about bankruptcy, and it's not a whole lot, I don't know all the intricacies of bankruptcy, but I will say that it's gotten a lot harder to excuse your debts in bankruptcy. The laws have gotten a lot harder. So just be aware of that. You're more likely to be put on some sort of repayment plan unless it's deemed that you are in just absolute dire straits. So that is my understanding of personal bankruptcy. But people who will know a lot more than me will be worth your time and money to help you with some of these questions. And I would say a personal bankruptcy attorney and a personal financial advisor. Good luck to you. Okay, we got a question here from Olivia. She asks, great to hear Joe on the podcast. Yes, Joe Saul Sehi. He's the co-host of Stacking Benjamins. Olivia says, I also enjoyed your visit to Stacking Benjamins a couple of weeks ago. I've been struggling with financial impatience recently. Now that I'm on track with all my goals, I think a side hustle could speed up my progress. As a pregnant attorney with a 2-year-old, I have very limited free time, but after much research, I've decided to jump headfirst into REI, made my first offer. I'd be interested in hearing your thoughts on side hustles for the busy professional. On the real estate side, I'd love to hear an interview with the guys from Bigger Pockets. Okay, so definitely going to reach out to the Bigger Pockets guys because I like getting your recommendations for guests. By the way, anyone listening, if you have people you want me to interview, let me know. It's not always a slam dunk, but I definitely will make an effort to reach out to those folks and let them know that my listeners want to hear from you. Your other question about side hustles for the busy professional. You know, if you're not insistent on doing side hustles that are tangential or directly correlated to your profession or your big skill set, strong skill set, I would say do what's easy, you know, do what's convenient. We call it a hustle. But if you're a pregnant, busy attorney that's got also a two-year-old, I mean, you got a lot. I had just a few days of trying to manage a one-year-old on top of my job, and I'm not pregnant and I'm not an attorney. So I can only imagine what your day's like. But just try to take the hard work out of the hustle a little bit. And sometimes it's just a matter of like doing something that's passive income. Like I just had a woman on the show who was selling clothes online, making lots and lots of money. You could pet sit, you know, you could, when you're away, rent your home out on Airbnb. You could, you know, did you know that you can rent your car? Yeah. There's an app for that. You can rent your car when it is not in use for the app, by the hour, by the day, by the week. I believe it's called RelayRides.com, and they actually will give you the insurance as well. So if the car gets ruined, it doesn't touch your personal insurance. So, I mean, you're telling me you're a busy mom, you're a busy professional, you're expecting another baby, you want to make a little bit more money. Try looking into these other, you know, side gigs that are not too super time consuming. I've talked about on the show a lot before, and I have no affiliation with them, but TaskRabbit, I use them a lot. You know, this is a site where you can go on and find jobs in your neighborhood that you could perhaps fold into your afternoon routine on the weekends. You know, somebody needs some items picked up at the grocery store, or they need your help with maybe some professional legal advice. And that's something that you can freelance on the side. That might be something that you could start to slowly advertise. You know, it's just that you're out there as a legal professional. You could do like an hourly fee. I don't know if your employer would allow this, but that would be something cool too. So again, just initial thoughts off the top of my head. But thank you for your question and good luck with your pregnancy. All right, we're going to do a couple more questions and then wrap. Vance says, I would like to know what is the best way to pay off credit card debt and then save for retirement. Well, I would say don't try to do one or the other. I mean, try to do both at the same time if you can. I don't know how much credit card debt you have, but if you haven't saved anything for retirement, that's a concern for me. I'd like to see that you are addressing the credit card debt to the best of your ability, meaning you are perhaps addressing the highest interest rate card with more aggressiveness. You're not just paying the minimum on that card, you're paying triple or quadruple on that card, and then making sure that the other cards with the other balances are being paid on time as well. And whatever little money you have left, putting that into a retirement account, because the earlier you get started with saving for the future, the happier you'll be when you get to that future, the more appreciative you will be, the more money you'll also have to show for it at that point. Because of course, with compound interest, starting early makes a big difference. And so I would like to see a bit of a hybrid approach if you can. And like I just finished talking about with Olivia, I would say try to maybe find a side hustle to pay down that debt really fast. You know, call it like a debt side hustle. I did this in my 20s. I babysat and did all sorts of things. And that money primarily was helping me pay off some credit card debt. So if that's something you have time for, that's also a smart way to address the debt here and now and quickly get back on track with retirement. And I would say that once retirement is more of a viable savings bucket for you, pretend that the debt is still there. Whatever money you were funneling towards the debt, funnel it now towards the retirement. And then we've got a question from Taos. Well, actually, it's a comment and a question. Farnoosh, I can't stop listening. I've read almost every book mentioned by you and your guests, including all three of your books. I'm becoming a little obsessed with personal finance. Who knew? My question is, my mom only started saving for retirement 5 years ago. She's 60. She's about to inherit a large sum of money, about $100,000. What would you recommend she do? Annuities, high interest savings account, keep it aside and max out an IRA every year? She probably won't retire for another 10 years. Thank you for all you're doing with this incredible podcast. Well, thanks so much. And that's a, you know, your mom's pretty lucky here. She got a nice little surprise nest egg. Oh gosh. I mean, I don't know about annuities. I certainly am not schooled enough in them to recommend them. And from what I read about them and what I've been told about them, they're very complicated vehicles. So if it's very complex for me to understand, I can't even imagine somebody who's not, you know, entrenched in the world of personal finance to really get it and with confidence invest in them. High interest savings account. Yeah, I like that. Keep it aside and max out an IRA every year. Could also do that. I think all of these are, all these savings ideas are good ideas. I think that the thing about, you know, being 60 and wanting to retire in the next 10 years is that you don't want to obviously put this in aggressive investments, you know, because this is money that she will likely need soon. And by soon, I mean in the next 10 years. I don't know what other retirement assets she has. Does she have a 401k? Does she have a pension? Does she have other IRAs? Will she be getting a nice social security check? And when will she plan to tap that? Also think about what are her expenses that maybe she can use this money to pay down? Does she have a big fat mortgage that maybe this 100 grand could help to reduce so that her costs then in retirement aren't kept at a minimum? So I would say look at some savings opportunities, whether it's, you know, an IRA, but even if you do the IRA, I want her to stay pretty moderate with the investments, you know, definitely can do stocks to an extent. I would say, you know, at 50 years old, you don't want to be more than half invested in the stock market. I'm talking about like stocks, mutual funds. The other 50% I would put in cash like investments, bonds, money market. And depending on what else she has secured for herself for retirement, and how locked up that is, this might be money that she would like to keep very liquid so that it is accessible to her. And not knowing what her healthcare costs might be, that could be something that will be very, very helpful for her soon. So good question. Thank you so much for your commitment to the show and to reading all of my guest books. That's awesome, Taos. And I think I'm going to wrap it here. I definitely have, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I have like at least 10 more questions, but I'm going to try to get them to them tomorrow. Thanks everyone for tuning in. All of your questions were excellent. And I apologize if it was a little off the cuff, but it's been a crazy week and I just really wanted to, you know, get to these questions and respect your queries. And if you have any follow-ups for me, you know how to reach me, farnoosh@somoneypodcast.com, or just go back to So Money Podcast and click on Ask Farnoosh. Thank you so much. Hope you have a great rest of your Saturday and hope to see you right back here tomorrow. Hope your day is so money.
Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.